who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, November the 26th, 1988. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the speaker of the morning.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Teaching on the Bride of Christ.
Well, we're going to hear the word some more and get it in our down within us, because we need to have it down inside of us so that it lives within us. So that when a situation arrives, we have the word that comes forth from us, it is written. That's the only thing, the authority we have, it is written. And by that authority, we can set the captives free, or be set free ourselves. By the authority of the word, it is written. So Jerry, come on, tell us and teach us this morning.
So I don't destroy anything else. Y'all feel as good as I feel? Before we do anything else, I want to just read to you some, I'm going to give you some scripture references on some things that that I dug out of the Word just from, I thought from my own information, but as I travel around the country, I'm finding out people go, is that in the Word? I said, well, it says it is. Very, very simple. The fruit of the spirits, the fruit of the Spirit, capital S. You know that some of you probably know this, but those of you who don't go home without. Galatians 5:22-23 will give you a list of the fruit of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit of the fruit of faith in 2 Peter 1:5-11. The fruit of wisdom is found in James 3. James 3. I'm in a hurry because I want got a lot to do. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 is the fruit of faith. 2 Peter. Did I say something? Just a minute. Okay. It's only to see with. Okay. 2 Peter 1, 5, 11. It's kind of like that time y'all asked me, which John? I said, the long John. I can't tell you 1, 2, or 3. Okay. The fruit of wisdom, James 3:17. I'm giving you the good guys first. The fruit of righteousness is found in Romans 5:1-11. It's called washing your mind with the word. Dwell upon these things. And the definition of love, God's love, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read you this. Patient, kind, not ever jealous, doesn't brag, not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not remember a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, let's deal with the other side of our nature. The fruit of the flesh is in Galatians 5:19-21. And also in Titus 3:3. Wait a minute. 19-21. Galatians 5:19-21. Titus 3:3. Chapter 3, verse 3. The fruit of the impure heart, translated out lack of faith, is in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 26 and going through 32. It's a lack of faith. Fruit of fleshly wisdom. James 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. I got to read you this. Fleshly wisdom in James 3, 14 through 16 means bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, every evil thing, earthly, natural, demonic. Fleshly wisdom. The word says, let him who have understanding, not he who has wisdom, let him who has understanding of what you know. Okay? The fruit of idolatry is in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 5 through 9. Fruit of unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. I've discovered that most of us get so frustrated when we approach the Word of God that a majority of us turn away at one point or another because we feel like we just haven't got it. And when we get it, we can't keep it. That's a lie. Those who diligently seek. Be diligent. The fruits of a depraved mind. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 31. You want to hear them? Futile mind. Ephesians 4, 17 through 31. No understanding. Excluded from the life of God. Ignorant. A hardened heart, callous, given to sensuality, every kind of impurity, greedy, corrupted with lust of deceit, falsehood, thieves, given to an unwholesome speech, grieves the Holy Spirit, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. Depraved mind. Now that I've cheered y'all up, I'm going to sing hallelujah again or something. Okay, I had to go listen to my own sermon last night, which I hate to do. Can't sit through those things sometimes. But I went and got that tape back there that I told y'all to get on. There's two of them. One is on duty, off duty. You need that one for understanding. And the other one, spiritual witchcraft. I did listen to it last night in detail myself again. And it goes more in. I dealt more with sorcery than with divination, but I also dealt with divination. So you need that. Okay? I'm not merchandising nothing. I don't make a nickel, but you need that tape to begin with because I began with that several months ago. On duty, off duty, and spiritual witchcraft. Witchcraft. Divination of spirits. Okay? Means to also to divine, you know. Okay? And next time we come to camp meeting, Lord willing, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do that. And I think it is because he's been tugging my heart for months that the body of Christ must understand and be able to discern between when it is a spirit of divination and when it is actually discernment. Divination is the counterfeit of discernment. Okay? And none of us, I don't think, really understand, but we will if we set our hearts to understand. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer is what? From God. Okay. We're on course this morning. I went and did some study quickly this morning, but there's no way I can teach this right now. But it's in Numbers 23:23. If you want to go start looking up sorcery and divination spirits, and we will understand because God has told us. He will lead us in understanding. All right? And it's probably going to shake you up when you understand. It shook me up just a little bit that I understood. When I've actually been operating in God's Holy Spirit leading and when it's my own intellect and my own divining of what I can see in a person and what I can perceive, the way they stand, the way they dress, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they think. I'm divining something sometimes. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about y'all because I don't want to accuse nobody. But me. Me, you know, we walk into a room, we instantly perceive something, and we determine, well, you know, God's going to clarify, purify, sanctify, justify. Some of us may have to be dry cleaned. Just for a note, To go on record, I called my son last night, and he plays football, and I called him, and Deer Park was in the state playoffs for the first time. And my son's, the whole time he's played football, I've been one of those daddies that I hated. I just, grandparents and parents that sit in the stands and yell at their children or yell at the opponents and say, kill them, hurt them, beat them up, you know. That always kind of bothered me. So for a long time, I wouldn't stand there and just sit there. My wife had pulled me, she said, well, get excited. I said, I'm excited. So, but I know my tongue, and I can't say nothing because it just didn't feel right. You know, when God comes into you, every aspect of you changes. Everything changes. You can't hold on to nothing the way it was. I mean, everything, the way you do business, the way you carry out the garbage. You make sure it's tied up real tight so that, well, I don't care, chunk it, let it go in the neighbor's yard, you know. Everything you do will begin to change. Everything. If it doesn't, then you have not surrendered. You've not made him Lord of your life, right? That's what you experienced. He's not Lord overall. You've invited him in. He said, I'm in you. Now he's back waiting for you to be in him. Come on in. Well, anyway, so I began to yell for my son's team. And I began to yell, you can do it. Go for it. You can do it. I would try to yell everything positive. They even made me run the chains one time because they didn't have enough daddies to do that. And I sat on the sideline, this other daddy on the other end of that 10 yards away was yelling the most profane, ugly stuff. And if his son missed a tackle, he'd just, he wanted to chew him up, you know. And I'm sitting there going, what are you doing? And I got to where I finally offended him because I wouldn't yell like he yelled. Finally, I said, wait a minute. Let's start encouraging positive things. Don't yell against them. Yell for your son. That's all we need to do. Just be positive. I encourage my son, hit him as good as you can. Do what you can, you know. You do the very best you can, we'll always pray. So I'm telling you this, say this. When I started to come up here, my son got right in my face. He said, Dad, you're going out of town. We're in the playoffs, and who'll pray? You're going out of town, God? Who's going to pray? Because he knows I'm sitting in the stands praying. I pray protection, and I ask for special favor. I don't pray against the other team. I just pray for our team. God, help them, you know, keep them safe and let them do the best that they can. Thy will be done. Give us a field goal, God, something, you know. So I called last, and he said, who'll pray? So that was what I got, the who'll pray going out the door the other day. And I said, you'll pray, okay, just pray. So when I called last night, I was dreading it. Over at the house, you know, 11:30, I'm home. They're home from the Astrodome. They had 50-something thousand people show up for a high school football game in the Dome. We were playing the number 2 team in the nation in Texas last night. They were good. They were all black and we were all white. So my wife said, y'all seen the Dome? It was real hilarious, you know. All black and white. Over here was black and over here was white. And I said, well, I like those kind of games. That's fun, you know. Their band's better than ours. But anyway, I called last night and the first thing on the phone, my wife said, your son wants to talk to you. Okay. Hello, son. Dad. I said, what, son? He said, we got beat 35-10. I said, you pray? He said, yeah, I prayed. I said, you don't sound very happy. He said, I prayed. I said, what'd you pray? He said, I said, okay, see, God answers prayer if you pray the right thing. So my son's learning a very valuable lesson, and guess what? God's teaching him. I'm not. It's God. You parents, lighten up. Take the screws off. You cannot force nothing on anybody. Okay? Just lighten up. Let God. We're going to talk about the bride of Christ. We're going to finish this up this morning. Don't turn the tape over. This is tape 2 of part 2. I got that in? Okay. It's the same story, y'all. We're going to continue on with the bride of Christ. And just in case y'all lost tape number 1, we're going to rehab just a minute. Rebecca was the bride of faith. Abishag the Shunammite was the bride of virtue. Deborah was the bride of knowledge. If you lost tape number 1, go study Genesis 24, 1 Kings 1, Judges 4, and you'll catch right up. And then Joshua 2, you'll find Rahab and Mary Magdalene in the New Testament. Brides of self-control. I forgot to give you her name. Rahab in the Hebrew means rebelliously. How about that? You mean we can be rebellious? Anybody in here being called a rebel against the system? Did she rebel against her own? She had to. why. They were wrong. You see, she said, our hearts are faint because we see God and we know. So when your heart faints in you because you're in a dead place and you know better, you better rebel. If not, when the walls fall down, they'll be on top of you. Her name also means proud at liberty. Something else about this rebellious nature of Rahab. She was so deep in sin, like some of us, well, none of us have been really deep in sin. She was so deep in sin that she had to absolutely rebel against sin. Some of us have to take such a strong stand against it and just say, Satan, I'm rebelling against you. I'm going to be a rebel against that thing. A rebellious nature. God taught me a lesson about that in there. I said, oh, that's interesting. Okay, moving right along. After we have gained by faith, we have received virtue. After our virtue, God will give us knowledge. God won't give you knowledge without virtue. A lot of folks would like to step on faith over virtue on knowledge. And that's perverted. Okay? Knowledge without virtue in it is perverted. Okay? Step on all the steps as you go up. And by all means, stand on self-control, because you'll be stuck there for a while. So glad I'm in good company this morning. Okay. In the little book of Ruth, we're going to discover bride number 6. She is the bride of perseverance. Beginning in the first chapter of Ruth, if I can find it. I found it. It comes right to Deborah. I should remember that. Okay. Now, this is a type and foreshadow where we pick up our perseverance. Her name literally means, in the Hebrew, friend, neighbor. Okay? Let's see. Now, it came to pass in the days, reading in verse 1, chapter 1, when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. The judge is ruling right now. God's judging. There is a famine in the land. It's a famine of the truth of the Word of God. There is a famine, y'all. A lot of desserts being served, but very few meat and potatoes. A lot of quick fixes in the spirit. A lot of us would like to drive through a fast food restaurant and get our fix on Sunday morning and hit the road. Don't work that way. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and 2 sons. Moab means in the Hebrew, God's wash pot, scrub brush. Sent him over to be scrubbed up. What came back? You know the story. Read it yourself. And if you want to do some real deep study, go in and study the names in the Hebrew of the husband and the 2 sons that passed away, the other daughter-in-law that did not come back. Okay? But we're going to pick up our story with the bride of Christ. Her type in Ruth, in verse 19 of chapter 1. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And that's strange. It all comes back to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? See, the world seems to be very, very excited when they see the woman arrive. Wow. Look at that. So she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Do not call me pleasant. Call me Mara, meaning bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Naomi was a nice person, but she was bitter. She had lost her husband, her 2 sons. She had no inheritance. She's the old church. God had scrubbed her clean. There wasn't nothing left. Okay? But there's somebody at her side. Coming up with her. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? It's an awesome thing to fall in the hands of an angry God that will testify against you. That's why Psalms 51 is in there, that you may be just when you speak and blameless when you judge. You see, the intents of the heart, God searches the heart. We were discussing yesterday with a few people, when your heart, if your own heart condemns you, and that's what's wrong with so many Christians, we keep little sins and we keep practicing little fleshy things, and they're in our heart, and then our heart condemns us and we can't go and do the works of God. Because Satan uses us to condemn us, doesn't he? You want to persevere? It's up to you and I. The Holy Spirit's there to help you and lead you. Listen to Him. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess. Remember what God has said about Moabites? They shall never be where? In the house of God shall they never enter in. Moabites shall never enter in. Why is there a type of the bride of Christ? It's a Moabite. Did she not say with her own mouth, your people shall be my people? Did she not give up? Church, you're going to have to give up your identity here on the earth. You're going to have to give up any fleshly desires. You're going to have to give up any inheritance in the earth. You're going to have to give up all claims. Take off down the road with nothing. Is that clear? Okay. And Naomi said in chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman. We have a kinsman. Hallelujah. Her husband's a man of great wealth. Is my daddy wealthy? He owns a cattle on a thousand hill. Anybody want to have a barbecue? A man of great wealth. And the family of Elimelech, his name was Boaz. Boaz, the type of Christ. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. After the reapers. Okay. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. How sweet it is when we finally get where God is in our Christian experience and Christian walk and all of our journeys. We all finally get that place. You know, you kind of walk into God. Ooh, this is where God is. This is what's going on. Wow. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Where'd Jesus come from? Okay. And said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? He spotted her. Something you got to understand about Ruth. She didn't go home and lay down and go to bed. Naomi did. The old church, go lay down, rest. The young bride goes to the harvest, begins to glean the field. What's she picking up? The good that's left after the reapers. Working. She ain't wearing no wedding gown, is she? Without sweating in the sun. Grungy old clothes. Cleaning somebody's house. Mowing somebody's yard. Working. Working up a sweat. Verse 6. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, this is the young Moabite woman who came back. All you Moabites who have come back, okay? I was a Moabite. I've come back to God now. Come back with Naomi. I came with the church. I came through the church system from the country of Moab. You've been scrubbed clean. Some of us getting pretty clean. You'd be a little cleaner. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. So she came and she continued with them morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? God has already said, church, if you listen, if you hear my instructions, if, conditional, if you're back in the land, you've been redeemed. Now, church, if, okay? If you listen, do not go to glean in any other field. Nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Don't stray off of the path that I give you to walk on. Don't say, well, God, I go over to help them people. They're in trouble. They don't know what they're doing. Get over in your field. You're protected if you're over here. You're covered. Don't get off over there and go somewhere else wandering around. Tell somebody, don't go to China if you won't go next door first. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Lust of the eyes. Don't let them wander. And go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? God promises protection. And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Did he say this morning in the scripture he's going to thirst? He was going to give us our thirst. I mean, give us our water if we thirst. Then she fell down on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, what have I found? Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Boy, if you don't feel like that before God, you need to. Some of us, we get a little high and mighty before God sometimes. We forget we were a foreigner from Him. We're now redeemed. Every one of these types of bride of Christ ended up on the ground, bowed down, worshiping, low, not strutting her stuff. I'm a child of the King, man, I got it. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported. It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and now you have left your father, the devil, and your mother, and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Wow. Cover me with your feathers. Take me under your wings. Anybody ever raised chickens and seen mama chicken? They all run in and hide when it starts raining. Okay. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Okay. Anybody in here does not pray for special favor every day? You better. Every day. Get up and ask God. God, give me special favor with every person that I meet today and cause even my enemies to be at peace with me. If you don't ask, what? You ain't got. Okay. I don't want to be too tough on you, but... Okay. Let's go to verse 21 in chapter 2. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. Now, you know the rest of the story. I hope you do. If you don't, go back and read all of Ruth to glean out what is there for you. You know that after the harvest had finished, after the men had eaten, after Boaz had laid down, Naomi sent Ruth to him. Right? Let's go over to in chapter 3, verse 9, 8. Now it happened at midnight. Right, Bill? At midnight. It happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying where? At his feet. And he said, who are you? Then when the angel wrestled, Jacob wrestled with the angel of God, and the angel said, who are you? What's your name? He was saying, what's your character? Remember Jabbok? Remember last summer, all that toughness we had getting out of us? Who are you? What's your name? What's your character? I want to talk about you, not your enemies or your one you think is a problem for you. Let's talk about you. Let's look at you. It's what God kept telling us all summer. I'm going to let you see you. Turn the spotlights on. Hit it. Some of us go, ooh, no. Let's talk about somebody else. Who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a near kinsman. Then he said, see, we got to remind God, hey, God, he says, call me to remembrance. Remind me. She reminded him, I'm your near kinsman. You're my near kinsman. And then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning. And the love of many shall wax cold at the end. We talked about it last night. Cold, dead, the love of many. Lawlessness will reign. Why? The love of many shall wax cold. We have got to grow warmer toward everybody. And if you're not warm toward yourself, you're going to have trouble getting warm toward anybody else. Right. All right? Warm. We've got to get better. And God, this ain't it. I mean, we're not going to go poof and fly off. I mean, I thought we'd been in. God says, the fire's coming higher. The heat's coming up. It's going to get rougher. But you got to get better. You got to increase more and more and more in the spirit. And lay down more flesh. That was the report that he heard of her. He's telling her why he recognized her. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. Didn't Jesus say, in that day you shall ask me anything, and I'll do it. In that day. We're wondering why he ain't doing it now. Well, God, I need another car. I need a better job. I work with a bunch of heathens. Get me a better job, God. In that day. In the acceptable time of the Lord.
Yes.
Y'all, wait. Never mind. I was thinking. Okay. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. She'd been married before. How was she a virtuous woman? Virtuous acts. Cared more about others than she did herself. Sacrificially. Okay? Virtuous things. Satan has perverted our language. We think virgin, we think sexual. No. No. Virtuously. Without a reward. Not wanting praise and adulation. I've got, God blessed me with $10,000 and I've got a big check here to give to the church. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. That's enough. Y'all know. God says do it in secret. The things that you do quietly, do. I'll reward openly, right? Now, is it true that I am your near kinsman? Now, it is true that I am your near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Why did Jesus Christ come? Now, there's several reasons why he came. What did he say about the law? Does the law stand between us and Jesus? Stir up some thought here. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a near kinsman for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. And then he said, do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. Okay? And you'll read on the next few verses, you'll find out about he increased her measure. He gave her a blessing at the barley harvest. She didn't ask, he just gave it. Increased her measure. It's coming up. Get ready. Get your baskets ready. God's fixing to bless you. But you, if you got one basket and he wants to pour out six, you're going to be short. Get prepared. Get ready for all that God... Don't limit God. Remember the belt? The belt of truth? Today we wear a 32. We're walking in truth. Wake up tomorrow morning and we're now a 42 in truth. We got on a 32 belt. And it hurts. You get rid of the belt. Get some more truth. Don't limit God. Because Friday you may be an 84 in truth. Right? Don't wall him in. Don't limit God. Don't sit down and say, I got it. As soon as you say, I got it, you missed it. I'm walking in all that I understand right now. But I hope to be walking in more tomorrow. And the next time we come up for camp meeting, I hope that we understand divination and sorcery more than today. I don't feel condemned because I don't understand it yet. I've set my heart to understand. Now God will do it. And give us understanding. No fret. I ain't worried about it. Have I walked in divination before? I don't know. Do I care? No. No matter. Okay. We'll break that bond off of anybody right now. Okay, in verse 5 in chapter 4. You know the story. If a man died and left a widow, the nearest kinsman would marry. If it's a brother, they had to get married. And the first offspring would be named after the older brother that died and so forth. There were laws about widows and redeeming. When Naomi had lived in the land before, she had lands, okay? In order to reestablish her, Boaz would have to buy and pay all of her bills, redeem the land for her before he could marry Ruth. The near kinsman said, On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead in his inheritance. And the near kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You, Jesus, redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. The law cannot redeem you. The law is the near kinsman. The law cannot redeem one person. The law was there to bring you back to Christ. Christ was there to bring you back to the Father. Understand it? He bought the right of redemption. He had to clear all that was against Naomi. Purchase the land, redeem the land, redeem her in order to buy her and then marry her. Okay? Ruth, can you imagine Ruth sitting on the sidelines and all this is going on? How would you like to come to a strange land and your future is in the hands of a bunch of other folks? And you're out working in the field, sweating. And your mother-in-law is at home laying down, and some guy you're not real sure, Boaz, is bartering for you. He makes an agreement, takes off one shoe with this near kinsman and all this, and they do all this legal stuff, and she don't understand this stuff. She's over in the field working. Do you and I understand everything God's doing right now? No. But we know what? He's going to redeem us. So quit sweating about it and get to work. All right. You got that down. I won't have to labor on that one very long. Ruth, perseverance. Okay? I believe that's all that I dug out. There's a lot snuck in there. So y'all go right ahead and read all of Ruth. Leaving the Ruth of perseverance, the bride of perseverance in Ruth, number 6, let's move on over to Esther. Hallelujah for Esther. Yes, get excited. Wow. Esther, bride of godliness. But before we talk about Esther, in the same book of Esther, let's talk about what set up the circumstances that brought Esther to the forefront. The reason you and I are here speaking about the bride of Christ outside of the church system, so to speak. Circumstances are going on all around the world, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, and all of this experientially. We're sitting over here on the sideline being talked about and talking about what's going on. And the whole time God is just saying, listen to me. Listen to your instructions. Do your preparations. It doesn't matter about that going on over there. Doesn't matter about the 666. It doesn't matter about the one world system. It doesn't matter about the unity movement. It doesn't matter about one world nations, one religion, one voice, one everything. It doesn't matter about that. Don't look at the circumstances. Get over here and take care of you, Jerry Garner. Take care of you. Clean up. Walk out your salvation. Walk out your deliverance. Walk out your healing. It don't matter what's going on over there. I'll provide if you keep your eyes on me and stay over here in my field. Don't get out there and try to change the world government and try to change this and change that. And boy, I put on my righteous coat and I'm going to march here and march there and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Get out of that field and get over here in this field and do what I told you to do. Glean out the good. Glean this word. Glean what will feed you in the tribulation. Glean what you need now while you can. There's coming a day when you won't be able to. Do it now. Okay. But in chapter 1, let's talk about the lady for a moment. Every one of these came up against an illegitimate lady or illegitimate queen or a perverted queen or something. Have you noticed that so many of those far-off religions are based on a female goddess or something? Connected, isn't it? Interesting. Verse 12 of chapter 1. But Queen Vesta, she's a sweet lady. Old Queen Vesta refused to come at the king's command. God has said, church. She said, we're doing our own thing. We've got a temple. We got stained glass windows. We got nice pews. We got pretty music. Lots of air conditioning. It's fine right here. Let's keep it going, okay? Let's pave the parking lot. Paint the nursery pink and blue. Cut the doors off. Make it short. Make it nice. Everybody will come in. Do this. Do that. Let's get it organized. Get some programs. Let's get a bunch of youth programs. Have a hang up about youth programs. I don't want my sons babysat and just taken care of. I want them taught. I don't want them just... Don't send your kids just because you don't want to get rid of them. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people that go to church to get rid of their kids. I want the church to raise them. Church is not supposed to raise your kids. Okay. But Queen Vesta refused to come at the king's command brought by his eunuchs, and therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Seems like I remember God saying like that. His anger burned within him. Okay. Then the king said to the wise men... who understood the times. God is saying to the wise people, those of understanding, listen. Okay. Those closest to him, are you close to him? If you can't hear God, you won't understand. If you're not close to him, you will not ever hear him. Okay. What it boiled down to, he was throwing a big fancy party, and he wanted to show off his wife, and she said, I ain't going. That's what it boiled down to. So he got mad at her. Chapter 2, who attended him said, let beautiful young virgins be sought for the king. Then in verse 4, then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vesta. If we please God, Tommy talked last night, everybody's called. Everybody. God wants everybody. Everybody's called. Then the chosen starts in. The choosing. Let's see. Oh, very, very interesting. In verse 7. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah. I forgot to say her name. Esther, godliness, means Jewish heroine. Oh, boy, here we go. This is for you Strong's buffs that like to dig in these words. Her other name was Hadassah, meaning myrtle tree. Myrrh. Voice of myrrh. Myrtle tree. Do you remember in Zechariah about the horses standing among the myrtle trees? Blew my mind when I understood. And it said, and I'll tell you who they are. I thought he was talking about the horses. Talking about the myrtle trees. Those of understanding, go have a feast. Okay, Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother. About that. Bride of Christ has neither father nor mother. I'm a new creation. Okay, the young one was lovely and beautiful. Then in verse 9. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her. Besides her allowance. If you find favor in God's eyes, if you please him with the little bit that he gives you, he'll give you more. If he gives you a little joy, don't hoard it and hang around, walk around carefully. Ooh, I can't steal this. I feel so good inside. Let it out. Pour it out. And come back and he's going to fill you up again. Okay? You know, those type of people that they got a little joy from God and just a little assurance and they produce a little bit of good fruit and they walk around so carefully. Ooh, don't come in nothing bad. I don't want to go around anybody arguing or contentious or discussing anything. I'm just going to sit over in my own little world and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to hold my little cup. Don't bother me. No, like this. Come on, get out there where the work's going on. Pour it out. Pour it out. Share your joy. Don't be afraid of conflict. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about when the enemy rises up. He said when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God will raise up a standard, right? Did y'all see that thing coming across that river? Whoa. I went there last night. That was flat and peaceful. I got this morning. That's a roaring torrent down there. God reminded me. He said, watch this. Whoa. I was thinking baptism yesterday might just be survival today. Okay. Now, then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her for the king's palace. 7 church ages. And he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house of the women. Verse 12. Each young woman's turn came to go in to King Ariza. Each one of us have a time before God. Each one of us individually. Don't know when yours is coming up. I've been in a few times. Y'all have been real close to God. Those times when you just, he moves you in. He calls for you. It's not that you fasted and prayed and fell out and laid down for days seeking and crying. And it's just all of a sudden his, boy, one day I walked to my bedroom and I was started toward the bathroom and I just sat down on the bed. And it's like God just sat me down. And he said, watch my sovereign power move. Okay. I had been invited to speak at a church that evening, and I was walking around mentally, going, okay, Gav, what do you want me to say, God? And when I got there, all I could say was, watch God's sovereign power move. And, man, it just came in. I didn't say nothing. I mean, just brokenness and repentance. When God comes in, something happens. And the first thing is a broken and contrite heart. Ain't none of this all smiles. Sometimes we got to cry to break our old faces, and then we can smile. Sometimes God washes our eyes so we can see a little better. Each young woman's turn came after she had completed 12 months of preparation, according to the regulations for the women. For thus were the days of their preparations apportioned. 6 months with oil of myrrh. And I found out this oil is rough. It's a rub, work. Rub off the blemishes. Get all the scabs off. Heal all the sores. Work it, soften you up. Oh, hard-hearted thing, just working on it for 6 months. Loosen you up a little bit. Now, that's the upside. The downside, where you get to slide into home, is 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beauty. Making something pretty out of an old rough, wore-out wineskin. Soften it up first. Rework it. Because if he doesn't, you ain't reworked when the oil pours in. I've been around a few of those Christians that finally blew up. Blew up, blew out. They couldn't handle it. I seriously know a woman that entered in without being prepared. She almost lost her mind. The holiness of God come in your temple that's defiled and you're in trouble. Something's going to have to give. They easily burn out and burn up and talk about bush burning, burning bush. A lot of us burn up if God really came in like we want him to. Okay, you know the deal. Esther was finally chosen to be king. Do you know also the enemy rose up too? He got promoted the same time. Satan's fixed to be promoted, let loose for a time. Queens, the new queen, the godly queen is rising, and so is her enemy. Same time, get ready. The Antichrist spirit's going to rise up. Y'all better get ready. He's going to come out of the closet. He's going to step in the spotlight and say, here I am. And most people are going to be so deceived, they're going to line up right behind him. And they're going to persecute her, the bride. Okay? Chapter 5. Bill, get ready to hold your hair on. Now, it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter.
Hallelujah.
So y'all with understanding, get ready. When you get ready, things are going on. Think you might have missed God? Just stand. You don't see things changing? Just stand. Make sure you're ready. Just stand. And wait to be asked to come in. Don't go barging in.
Right.
You may be poof. Fire baby. Bug light. Zap. Watch it. Wait on God. In verse 3. And the king said to her, what do you wish? Boaz said, ask what you will. Jesus said, in that day, whatsoever you ask, I'll do. King said to Esther, bride of Christ, what do you wish? She had found favor. She entered in. What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of my kingdom. God has offered us half of his kingdom. He's offered to share it as a son. Okay? So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. And the king said, bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. We've got to prepare a feast, y'all. Some of us don't know the right recipe yet. How many of y'all can... Y'all can probably go in the kitchen and cook some pretty good stuff, but sometimes it helps to have the recipe set in to go by. Anybody ever lost their favorite recipe? My wife tore our house up last week. She had lost her great-grandmama's pecan pie recipe. And only it would do. She laid it on the counter. I came through and set a glass of tea on top of it. And 30 minutes later, you know where it was. Running down the counter in ink. I don't know why I remember that. I wish I hadn't. I bragged on that pie. I tell you, I eat the whole thing. That's the best pie I've ever... That's better than your great-grandma. That is the best pie in the world. Trying to redeem myself. Okay. Esther. through godliness. Whose godliness? God's godliness. Why? His preparation. How are you going to get God's godliness? Following His instructions. What are His instructions? Do, don't do. Do, don't do. Simple. Read it. Understand. Pray for more. You understand? Pray more. Do it. Preparation. Result, godliness. Okay? Oh, we're doing super. I'm going to be through him. Okay. Let's go to the last bride in 1 Samuel chapter 25. After by faith we have become virtuous, after we have received knowledge, and that receiving knowledge means we walk in it ourselves and we're able to live with what we've learned. We've gained self-control. We're now walked through perseverance as Ruth did. Work that we've served our time in the field. We have been brought into the king's house and been rubbed down and perfumed, and we now smell good before God. We're no longer a stench in His nostrils. We smell good. We don't sweat anymore, do we? They enter in. No wool shall come upon them, the sons of Zadok, right? It's on that tape back there. Hear it. No wool shall come upon them that enter into the Holy of Holies. Their understanding shall not be impeded. You can't pull the wool over their eyes. No wool. Okay? People of understanding. Godliness comes. Praise God. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, we're going to meet the lady, the bride of Christ, who after all has been said and done, she stands up, and I'm going to make a very bold statement here. Hope everybody's holding on their seat. She, in her appearing, ushers in the tribulation. Okay, y'all get ready. It's in here. 1 Samuel, chapter 25. Abigail means in the Hebrew, father of joy, peacemaker. She is where we obtain our brotherly kindness and love toward everybody, no matter what the circumstances are, their spiritual condition. Brotherly kindness and love. Unconditional love. Remember that. Unconditional love. You can't say, I love you if. I love you because God allows it. But God calls it. No. Unconditional love. The backbone of Jezebel was conditional love. Remember that. She puts a condition on everything. Spiritual, emotional blackmail by the Jezebel spirit in all of our lives. Mamas and daddies said, I love you. Now you do this and this and this. I love you. If you do good, I'll love you. I'm sorry. That's the root of bitterness. And that's a weed. And our garden needs to be pulled out. Conditional love, don't want it. Don't need it. I've already had it. I've been delivered from that. I love unconditionally. And I want to be loved unconditionally. No reservation. You got it. Coming down the home stretch now with the bride of Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep at Carmel. I don't know if I brought... Yeah, I did. Some definitions for you. David went down to the wilderness of Paran. Paran, in the Hebrew, means ornamental, to boast of self, to embellish self, glorify self, vaunt self. This man was living in that place. Selfishness. Land of Maon, M-A-O-N, darkness, in the sense of a shade. Something standing between them and the light and the glory of God that causes a shadow or a shade to be on them. Does not the word say that a veil is on the head of the Jews because they have rejected Christ? They are living within the shadow of something between them and God. It can happen to you and I if we allow something to stand between God and us. It can be pride, arrogance, selfishness, fear, doubt, unbelief, disbelief, all kinds of things can stand between us and God. Business in Carmel. Fruitful, plentiful, increase in the field. He lived here, but he did business over here. So fret not in Psalms because of evildoers, because they increase. They grow wealthy. Those who are trying to walk godly, they're not as wealthy as the wicked. What's wrong, God? Why are they prospering? Why are you blessing them? Who said God's blessing them? The word for us is fret not. In other words, ain't none of your business. God says your business is in this field. Don't go over and look, well, his turnip green's growing real green, God. God taught me a lesson. I told y'all before, he told me if I'd take care of his business, he'd take care of my business while I'm gone. I did not know that was a pecan tree in my backyard. That's how dumb I am, I guess. I didn't know stuff started falling on the ground. There's pecans out here. Must be blowing over from somebody's house. Look at all these pecans. And I'm looking up, and that tree is loaded. Loaded. And they're huge. And they taste fantastic. And every time the people come to our house for Bible study, we got a big basket full on the coffee table. Everybody's sitting there cracking nuts while I'm preaching. And they're picking pecans, you know? And everybody comes in, did you do something to that tree? Your pecans are better than mine. I said, I didn't even know it was a tree. I didn't know it was a pecan tree. And this guy said, when I sprayed and I fertilized and I did this and I did, I got these little puny scribbled up things. They don't taste good. How come you walked into this and all that's out there? I said, I don't know. It's God's tree. I mean, God's tree bountifully. Yup, that tree is producing for the whole neighborhood. We're giving away bags of pecans. How did that little bitty tree produce all those pecans? It's everywhere. But, I mean, you know, it's because God did it. I didn't do it. If I got there and fertilized and sprayed and prayed and begged, that tree would probably shrivel up. You know, that's whenever we try to do it. Just relax and let God do the increase. God said you ain't even begin to dream and imagine what I'm going to do. So quit trying to fantasize about it. Take vain imaginations captive. Soulish prayers, forget it. Okay? Okay. Nabal. She was married to Nabal. The name of the man was Nabal. The name of his wife was Abigail. She was a beautiful, she was a woman of good understanding. The bride of Christ has understanding. Wow. She was a beautiful woman of good understanding and of beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings, and he was from the house of Caleb. Nabal. Would you like to be named like this? Stupid, wicked, fool, vile person. Also means foolish woman. Okay? So you women don't escape on this just because it happens to be a man named Nabal. Also can be a woman. Living this way, living in darkness and working this way and separating my Christian life from my business life. Well, that's business over here when church would do this. Caleb, C-A-L-E-B, forcible, to yelp or attack as a dog, a male prostitute. That's what it said. That's what produced that. Every Christian is given the same anointing, same spirit, everything from God. What you do with it determines. You can prostitute it, and then we'll start feeding into that spiritual witchcraft. You can use the power that God gives you to manipulate and begin to divine for people, or you can allow the Spirit to do it. Discernment is for our knowing, not for somebody else's knowing, to help us out. God's going to show us that. He's going to let us understand that. Okay. Then David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. David sent 10 young men. How many camels came after after Rebecca? 10. Okay. David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young man, go up to Carmel to Nabal and greet him in my name. He was asking for an offering, 10%. David had been taking care of his sheep and protecting his herders from going back and forth, and he was doing everything out there. Jesus Christ has been working for us, interceding for us, and all he asked for is a portion of the increase, right? Y'all, this is very powerful if you understand it. God's put it down in black and white. But there are people who will absolutely slam the door on the Old Testament and say it's dead and gone, it's a history book. It is not. It is alive, and it's as meaningful today as the day it was written down. Okay? In fact, it's more powerful now. Okay. Verse 10. Then Nabal answered David's servant and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?" The world right now is going, "Who's God? We did this. I did this. I'm a self-made man." Mm-mm. There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Sounds like the old church yelling about all those who have fallen out of grace and broken away from the church and gone looking for God. "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shearers and give it to men that I do not even know from where they are from? Didn't God say that a day is going to come upon them that they will not even know of? They don't even know what's going to happen. It's going to happen." He said, "Why should I do that? I don't even know about them. Who are they? Where are they from?" Don't blame the world. They don't even recognize God. So you can't pound them over the head with the word of God. Don't do no good. They don't know who God is. You're wasting your breath and causing lumps on their head. It don't work. Forget it. Okay? Verse 13, "Then David said to his men, every man gird on your sword. So every man gird on his sword, and David also gird on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies." Ooh, some were on duty and some were off duty. Okay, moving right along. Verse 18, "Then Abigail made haste." She heard about this. She heard what was going to happen. She made haste. Didn't have time to go cook or plan or make preparations. She made haste. Get ready. Didn't that prophecy come to Glenn last night? It's going to start coming in here quickly.
Yes.
Rapid. Move. Not anxious, but it's going to come on. Haste. Hurry. Okay? Okay, not out of anxiety. "And she said to her servants, go on before me." In verse 19, "See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went down under the cover of the hill. Hide yourself behind the rock. And there where David and his men were coming down toward her, and she met him. She met him on the road. I love what she said about her husband. In verse 24, "So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be." Interceding. Let me intercede for my husband's iniquity. "And please let your maidservant speak to your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please," in verse 25 of chapter 25, "let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent." She meets David. I'm going to paraphrase some for you. She pleads for him. And what she finally says in verse 31, "that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, neither that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." What she said briefly is, he ain't worth it. Why get your hands bloody? He ain't worth it. I'll intercede. Let me do this and this. He ain't worth it. David, don't grieve yourself over it. Let me intercede. Okay? Be peacemakers. Be people of peace. Don't get even. Be a peacemaker. No one has to be right or wrong. Be a peacemaker. If necessary, say, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. Okay? Be a peacemaker. Dare to be right and still be wrong. Does that make sense? I've stood in that place before. I had rights. Y'all, I was right. And I had to say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, it's okay. Be a peacemaker. Did I emphasize that enough? Okay. She said, he ain't worth it. Verse 37. So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, he finally got out of his drunken stupor. The church is going to wake up. After they've drunk their fill of the cup of indignation and it's run its course, they're going to wake up finally. And his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. And he became like a stone. Stony heart. Hardened heart. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord, that God, struck Nabal and he died. Does God kill people? Yes. Verse 41. Then she, Abigail, arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Old-time Pentecostal foot washing was only a foreshadow of something's going to come. We're going to serve the servants of God. We're to wash the feet of the unlovely. Remember? Got to hug the unlovely, the slimy and the unslimy. You're going to have to get down there in the with them and serve the servants of God. Be willing to get down there like Jesus did and wash the feet. Okay? Some of us are so high and mighty, we can't get low and lowly. Okay. So Abigail rose in haste, rode on a donkey. I like donkey riders. Attended by five of her maidens. Ooh, five of them had enough oil for the trip. And she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. Abraham sent a messenger for Rebekah. Abishag was sent for. She came on her own admonition. She came. Rebekah came to Isaac because she was told, come. She came to him. Jesus has been saying, come to me. Come where I am. I'm not going to come where you are. The Father says, don't let him go back where they are. Come to where I am. We've been wanting God to come and inhabit where we are with our emotions and our intellect. Come over here, Jesus, where I am. Get in me over here. He said, no. You come over here where I am. You walk the way I walked. You be like me. I'm not going to be like you. You put off you. I'm going to come in you over there, but you're going to come over here with me. That's where most of us are stuck. We've accepted Christ. I hate that phrase. I'll let Christ be my Savior. I've accepted Him. No. I realize my sinful condition and I ask Him to save me. And then He received me. He accepted me. I didn't accept Him. Now, church, the second part is wake up. Come into Him. And what won't go into Christ? Envy, strife, jealousy, anger, wrath, my bill of rights, my righteous indignation, my spirituality, my soulish powers, that will not come into Christ. Ooh, I'm 5 minutes over.
Slow the tape down.
Those of understanding, I'm going to read for you real quick. In verse 18, this is just for those history buffs that like to go study in the Strongs and dig out all these little goodies. We're going to, you know, the pecans have been cracked. Now we've got to dig out and separate the precious from the vile. Okay. She brought down 200 loaves of bread. And I'm going to read it to you just the way it reads in the Hebrew out of the Strong's dictionary. When God said, write down 200 loaves of bread, He said to feed on. Consume by destruction. By battle. Devour, eat, overcome, prevail, make war. What does that sound like to you? The beginning of something, right? Also write down 2 bottles or 2 skins of wine. 2 wilt. What's like grass that's going to wilt? 2 wilt. 2 fall away. Who's going to fall away? 2 fail. Men's heart will fail them. 2 faint. Young men will faint out of fear. Be foolish. Be wicked. They'll be caught banqueting. The word means on new wine. Effervescent intoxication. You see what she's bringing? See what the bride's bringing in? Okay. 5 dressed sheep. You sheep dressed? Sheep means to migrate. Name or flock of man or sheep. Dressed to appoint, bestow, become, commit. The group that Tommy preached about last night, called, chosen, faithful, committed. God will then begin to appoint and begin to bestow on them what? Gifts. And they will what? They will become the bride. 5 sheaves of parched grain. Shrinkage by heat. Fire's coming up. Scorch. Partially. Slowly. Dried. Seem vile. You'll think everything's going to die. Everything's going to die in you that is not God. So don't worry about it. Tommy told me last night God was going to cut some things off me and add some other. Bring it on, God. Because I know when God cuts off, he puts on. If he takes away, he adds to. Always. So fret not. If I lose my soulish powers, praise God. It's all right. Don't matter. Because I know God's going to give me his power. Watch out. He's going to give it to us when he knows that he can trust us to use it properly. Five sheaves of parched grain means to pile up, to gather. I don't know why I wrote down here, read Jeremiah 50:26, but I will. I wrote myself a note. I do that a lot. I hope it pertains to this. It does. Come against her from the furthest border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps of ruin and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. There is nothing that looks like the old image is going to be left. There is not even going to be a remnant. People talk about the remnant all the time. There's some remnants you don't want to be in. Right? He deals with the remnant. He said, don't even leave them alive. Go get them. Okay. We better know what we're believing and claiming and shouting about. I went to a church that they thought they were the remnant. I said, which remnant are you? I began to read about the other remnant. They go, ooh, no, we're not that. I said, well, you just say I'm the remnant. Better watch out. What remnant? Better watch what you claim. 100 clusters of raisins, dried grapes. A bunch of raisins to dry up. I got to confess, I had felt dried up before, but I realize now, I look back, it was God drying up me for a reason. Raisins are good when they're dried up. Better than being a piece of beef jerky. 200 cakes of figs. Y'all get ready, hallelujah, shouting time when it's all over. Means to press together. To enclose, to reside, or dwell with. Those are the eight types and foreshadows of the bride of Christ. Please, go back and study and understand. There is some hidden manna. There is more hidden manna than I think you and I will ever be able to understand and uncover. Let's be the bride. You'll be the bride if by faith you receive and begin to do virtuous things, and by way of use and practice you acquire knowledge, not head knowledge. Forget that, because that'll just pervert you. And after you get all that, God's going to send you through a test of self-control. He's going to have those point their finger at you. Why, you just think you're holier than thou. You're goody-goody. What are you going to do? Stand still and shut up. Remember, church, I remember this clearly because one of my elders come up and he said, Brother Jerry, why are you always defending yourself? And I said, I don't do that. I did. He said, why do you feel like you always have to defend what you say or what you think? You're right. And right after that, I found a scripture that said, he who defends himself has a fool for a client. It's tough when God talks so plain sometimes. You're right, God. It's right. Anybody, confess right now and stop doing it. If you try to defend yourself, God is not your defender. To educate yourself, he is not your teacher. If you're relying on some man to feed it to you and teach it and drill it into you, the Holy Ghost is not your teacher. Some man is. I don't mind if you go to conferences and go to places, but go prepared before you get there and glean out what he's got and go on and get what somebody else has got too. Glean that. Remember the big colander my grandmother used to shake? Don't worry about listening to this one and this one and this one. Just get it all and then shake it. Glean. Be a bride of preparation. Glean out. Pick it out. Oh, that I like. Boy, that's good. Now, don't get upset. Don't think God's got a supermarket. You can walk down the aisle. Oh, I need a dozen of these. Oh, give me some of this. It ain't worked that way either. Trust the Holy Ghost. The sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit. Okay? Okay. Then when you start naming and claiming, get ready, because I told you, man, you're feeling great. Open that door and the biggest, hairiest, ugliest thing is standing there. And you want to run and hide and say, oh, God. He said, get out there on the front porch and whoop him. Persevere. Stay in there. If you ain't been tested, this is a chaste virgin. After all that's over and you're going through your self-control and your perseverance, God will begin to pour out his likeness. You'll be one of them myrtle trees standing there. You'll see the horsemen come in. You'll be standing there with them. That's what it says. Go read it. And by that point, you'll love everybody. You'll love the unlovely and the ugly and everybody. You love your mother-in-law. You love everybody. The same. And it'll be real. It won't be fake. I love you. You're so smart. It'll be real. It'll come from the heart. Okay? Let's stand and pray and stretch. And I'll bless the food, Glenn, if you would have me do that. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth. I thank you for revelation knowledge. I ask for your Spirit to come now and seal this word in our heart. If I spoke one word that was not true, Father God, or that did not come from you, Father, I ask that you to strike that and bind that from my understanding in Jesus' name right now, Father. But Father, every word that was from you, Father, I pray that you plant in our heart, that you give us hearing ears and seeing eyes, and a purged and purified and clean created heart, Father God, to receive that fresh implanted word, yes, Father. And Father, I pray in the days to come that you send someone to water and nurture that word in our heart. That you send ministering angels, Father, to produce a vine out of our heart, Father, to produce fruit in our lives, enough fruit to nourish us and to share with others, Father, in the days to come. Father, I pray right now that you bless our bodies with this physical food, Father, in Jesus' name, that it be healing to our body. And I ask a blessing to be upon each one here, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.